Amen. How about our young people singing today? Wow. You guys are fantastic. Thank you for coming, using your gifts and your talents to stand up in front of everybody and sing. It was absolutely beautiful. And the song that you guys sang at your offering, there toward the end, you said something, the words were something about sowing the seed, and then what was it? Remember? What was it? The seed I receive, I will sow. Oh, yeah. The seed I receive, I will. Fits right in. Fits right into the scripture for today. The seed I receive, I will sow. Awesome. Wow. Man. And then that you finish with that song, I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Keep those two thoughts in mind as we listen to the scriptures for today. And, you know, we're in the Lord's house today, and I'm glad that you are here. And I hope you've been blessed already. And we will continue to see God's blessing upon us. And it's a great day. It's a great day to be in worship. Now, you know, I hadn't even got started yet, and I'm seeing some yawns already. So you guys are already challenging me this morning. And I hadn't even got started. But I did find out yesterday, like all great speeches, did you realize, I was at the Martin Luther King Jr. celebration yesterday, that one of his famous speeches was only 17 minutes. 17 minutes. That's a challenge for me, okay? 17 minutes. And he had several, but one of his most well-known, and that was the one where I have a dream. It was that particular speech, I have a dream. And 17 minutes. And then we know that Lincoln's Gettysburg Address was what? Anybody remember? I don't know. It wasn't much longer than that. Probably less than that. What? A lot less, right? What a challenge for us preachers, right? Especially some of you that are yawning already this morning. What a challenge. So I will, let's see what God has to say to us. I feel better. I just feel good from the last couple of weeks. Let me tell you, I'm just praising God that my body heals with the help of medicines and doctors. That, you know, I just feel good this morning. And our kids, we see that energy there. Wonderful. Thank you, parents. I know you have to get them here. You have to live before them that life of faith so that they believe, you know, so that they get up here and they believe what they're singing. And they're encouraged in what they're singing. So thank you for making sure seeds are being sown in their lives. Okay, so let's read today from John, the first chapter, verses 35 through 42. Now, last week we talked about Jesus' baptism, and the first part of this does talk about that. But we're going to move on from there because last week as I gave the sermon, I got some direction from a couple folks. They said, "Preacher, you're pretty hard on everybody last week, but you didn't tell them what we need to do about it." And so I was listening to that. I said, "You know, you're right. You are right." And so what do we do? We were talking about the fact that, hey, nobody pays you to come to church, right? You come. You volunteer to be here. Because you feel the Spirit of God leading you, I hope. Or because maybe, you know, your spouse has dragged you here this morning. Or maybe if you're a child, your parents said, you will go to church or you won't go to such and such activity this coming week. I used that on mine a couple of times. And, you know, it works. That's not the reason you want them to come, but it does work. It will get them here so that they can at least hear. And the seed can be sown this morning. Well, let's read now from Gospel of John, beginning at verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Remember, I was with the kids this morning. Teachers, a lot of teachers didn't walk as they taught, and people followed them. I guess they had to speak pretty loud. I don't know. It's either that, or these guys had to get real close up to them to hear what they had to say. But it says, he was looking at Jesus as he walked, and they said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, either he's walking or he's watching Jesus. Jesus is walking. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They heard John the Baptist speak, and they followed Jesus. They didn't hear Jesus speak. They heard John the Baptist speak, "Behold the Lamb of God." And they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." An invitation from Jesus. Come and see. We're going to talk about that in a minute. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now, it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." And Messiah here in Hebrew, Messiah, it means Messiah. "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone, or a rock, a solid rock. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the words of John this morning as we hear about Jesus and we hear about the beginnings of the movement that Christ lived and brought into the world. The beginning of the gospel message and how it affects people and how we are called to bring that message to affect others. Lord, hear our prayer as the word goes forth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thomas Jefferson made this statement: "He who does most in God's great world, who does his best in his own little world." You hear that? He who does the most in God's great world, who does his best in his own little world. In his own little world. I titled my sermon today, "Express Yourself." Many of you remember the song "Express." I want to just read a couple words to you. It's written by Charles Wright, and it says, here's a couple of the lyrics from it: "You don't need help from nobody else," which is not true, but you know, all you got to do now is express yourself. It's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you look like when you're doing what you are doing. And so I said, okay. So that song came to my mind, and I said, I can use this. This can be used this morning. So we come to the gospel lesson. And the first thing we realize this morning is that John the Baptist recognizes who Jesus is. And John is not afraid to witness, to give a testimony of who Jesus is and what Jesus is about. He has seen him. He has witnessed his life. He has witnessed his anointing by the power of the Holy Spirit. What I mean by anointing is the Holy Spirit has come down and rested on Jesus and has set him apart to do God's work. And that's what anointing means. You know, it means the setting apart. In the Old Testament, oil was used to anoint kings and priests and prophets. And what it communicated was, this person is being set apart to do a powerful and wonderful thing. And so, as John the Baptist is given this witness of Jesus, we are told that he has followers. And these followers become curious about who Jesus is and about John's testimony. And so we as the church, we as disciples, we have to have that same curiosity about who Jesus is. And that's one of the things that we can do. We can become curious, just like we are curious about other things, about learning new things, about learning how things work, what makes them tick. And if we become curious about something, we begin to read about it. We begin to study it. We begin to learn. And then we begin to say, how can this affect my life? How can I use this in my own life to make me a better person? Or you know, how will it enhance what I am called to do in this life? And John knew this about Jesus. And John then was so curious and had so been embraced by who Jesus was, the Son of God, that he didn't mind telling everyone else who Jesus was. And that's the next thing that we are called to do. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be ashamed to tell others about who Jesus is, if we really believe it. And his Spirit lives in our hearts, in your heart, in my heart, your soul, my, if we really believe it, then we should not be ashamed to introduce other people to the Lamb of God, to introduce other people to Jesus Christ. That's another thing that we can do. We can be faithful in our testimony. And then when we testify, when we give that witness, we don't know what is going to happen. We don't know how God is going to use it. It's not up to us to determine how God is going to use it. It is up to us to be a witness, to be a faithful witness. And we see it unfold right here in this passage of Scripture. John has a couple of disciples following him around. And John realizes that, yes, he has had a message, that he has had an impact. But here's one that's going to even have a greater impact than he has. And brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ can have a greater impact on your life and my life and the life of those of whom we love and whom we work with, even greater than what you think you can do with them. It can have it on your children, on your spouse, on your neighbors, and on your friends. But we have to be that faithful witness for him. And so John makes this statement, "Behold the Lamb of God." And it says two of his disciples heard it. All they did was hear it. So sometimes we just got to put the message out there. We never know who's going to hear it and how it's going to affect their lives. We never know. These are two ordinary people just like you and just like me. This is what Thomas Jefferson said. Ordinary people. Andrew. We don't even know the name of the other guy. Do you know that? We don't even know his name. We know Andrew's name. It just says two of us. There's just no name for folks except for Andrew. And they start following Jesus. And here's the great part. When they start following Jesus, then Jesus takes over. From that point, we're not responsible for them. We're responsible for getting them there. We're responsible for praying for them. That's something else we can do. We're responsible for being a faithful witness. But then when they start seeking Jesus, Jesus takes over. And so as these two disciples are following him, as I said, one of them, we don't even know who it is. So you never know who you are affecting with the gospel of Christ. You never know who's watching your testimony and how your testimony is being lived out. You never know. We are called to be faithful to do it, though. And so Jesus turns around to them and he says, "What do you seek? What do you seek?" And they said to him, "We want to come and see where you're staying." Well, they're not just asking where his address is. Okay, they just don't want to know where what street he lives on. You know, they don't. It has nothing to do with where they live, what kind of home they live in, whether it's by the ocean, you know, the ocean front, or whether it's in some gated community, or whether it's just right downtown somewhere. You know, right. It may be a different part of town where there's struggles and difficulties going on. That's not what they want to know. They want to know, what is he all about? They want to know more than just the physical address. They want to know what Jesus is all about. And that's curiosity. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be seeking what Jesus is all about. We need to be asking others to seek him in that same way. And so Jesus then, he just doesn't ignore them in the same way that we're called to do the same thing. If somebody asks us about Jesus, about our church, about our Father, we don't ignore them. We extend the invitation to them. Come and see, Jesus says. That's radical hospitality, isn't it? I have to admit to you, I better not do that. Sometimes I don't want people to come with me because I got other things I got to do. Sometimes I might not want folks to come to the, I need to extend the invitation to them, but you know, well, my yard's really not the way I'd like for it to be. Or, you know, maybe I've thrown down my shirt or my coat somewhere and it's just a little disorderly sometimes. We can come up with all kinds of excuses, can't we? About why we won't invite or try to live out or invite someone to come and be a part of our lives as we witness and testify about Jesus Christ. But that's not the way Jesus is. See, everybody is welcome at any time, at any moment, at any in any place. Isn't that wonderful? That Jesus is not like we are. That he's always ready. He's always available. He's always ready to listen and to care and to reach out and touch every human being, every human soul. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we're not ready to do that with our closest person. The person we love the most. Sometimes we're not ready to do that with them. that we say we love the most, are we? But Jesus, he's ready. He is willing. 24/7. You know, we talk about 24/7 all the time. 24/7? Can you say that about the person you love the most? That 24/7, you're ready, invite them, be with you? Can you? But that's why he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, because he was willing to shed his blood upon the cross. His blood redeems us. His blood gives us a new life. His spirit and his power awakens us to a new life, to an extraordinary life, even though we're ordinary human beings. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when Andrew went and got Simon Peter, his brother, because he loved Simon Peter. And Jesus had become what he wanted him to be. His curiosity had been met. And so he was willing to go testify. John the Baptist testified about Jesus. Now Andrew is willing to go testify about Jesus, to give a witness. And he goes and he invites his family, member of his own family, his brother Simon. You know, when we talk about evangelism in the church, that's a scary word. But sometimes those closest to us are the ones who need to hear the invitation. And maybe Peter saw something in Andrew's life, or saw a glimmer in his eye that he had been touched by Jesus. We don't know. But he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked inside of Simon Peter's life and his heart. And he had X-ray vision. It was an ancient CT scan. X-ray machine. Whatever with all those other scans you call them, Walter, whatever it is. He was able to see inside the heart of Peter. Inside to his very soul. Listen now. He saw something in Peter that Peter didn't even see in himself, that Andrew probably didn't even see in himself. He said, "Rockless Peter, you're going to become the rock." Imagine what Andrew thought. He was his brother. He knows him. He lived with him. What? This guy, he's... I mean, this Peter's flighty. What do you mean he's going to be a rock? Our family knows us best, don't they? But see, Jesus looked deep into his heart and his soul, and he saw something in there. Just like he sees into your heart and mine today. And he sees more in us. And sees more potential in us than we see in ourselves, young people. He sees more in us than we see in our. He sees more in us than even our parents see in us. Than even the preacher sees in us. Than even the teacher sees in us. I'm going to call you the rock. Well, if we look at Peter's life, we go, what kind of rock is this? You know, he was his enthusiasm and his desire to want to follow Jesus pulls him out of the boat and on the way in, but he falters when he realizes what he was doing. His anger causes him to pull out his sword and cut off the ear of a servant that comes to arrest Jesus. His flightiness, his his fear caused him to deny Jesus when Jesus was getting ready to be tried. A rock? Is that the kind of rock you want to be on? Is that the kind of rock you want to stand on? Ah, but after the resurrection and the Holy Spirit comes, we hear more about Peter than we hear about Andrew. We hear about Peter's testimony. We hear about Peter's life. We hear about Peter's impact on the church. John the Baptist decreases, Jesus increases. Andrew decreases, Peter increases. What is it that someone said? I think the quote goes something like this, you know, the church or any organization can do a lot, can accomplish a lot, if folks don't worry about who gets the credit for it. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., in one of his struggles there in Alabama, when they were having the bus boycott, there's a part of his witness and his testimony in his book that says when he got to that point and, you know, all this stuff was going on, he looked up at God and he says, God, I can't do it anymore. You know, all of the criticism and the attempts on those who are trying to take his life and taking the burden of the whole world upon us, for being that prophet, being that preacher, speaking out against injustice. We're told in the book that he gives, where he was ready to give up. He was ready to give up. And he looked at God, he says, I can't do it anymore. But he said somehow, some way, after that, he was given a new energy, a new grace, a new anointing to be that rock that the world needed at that moment in time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus knows every one of our potential here. We think we have to be extraordinary. We think we have to have all these gifts and talents and to be gifted with this or that to have an impact in the world in which God has created for us, in which God calls us. But it's not so. We have to be faithful to do what He calls us to do in the little world that He has given us. And if we do that, we never know the impact that we'll have on other people because of what Jesus Christ can do and will do in their lives. You see, Jesus sees into your heart and my heart today. He can scan, the Holy Spirit can scan deep down into your soul and my soul. And He knows the potential. He knows the power. He knows the impact that every one of us can have in this world in which we live. And He gives us the power and the Spirit to accomplish it. Don't ever say, I'm just an ordinary person working 9 to 5 or 9 to 12 or whatever it is, and God can't use me. Don't ever say, no one loves me. Don't ever say, I am of no use to anyone. Don't ever say, I want to give up. Don't ever say, nobody cares about me, that I'm just a number. Don't ever say that. Because Jesus knows better. God knows better. You are that potential rock in His kingdom. What can you do? What can we all do? When we hear His call, we can care. We can show compassion. We can communicate His love to other people. We can express ourselves. What I mean by that is we express what Jesus Christ is doing in us. Do what you are doing in Christ so that others will see what you are doing. And they too will follow Him. Let us pray. Oh God, as we come into Your presence this morning, we are mindful that just like Andrew and that other disciple, that our names do not have to be in lights. They do not have to be in a Hollywood square. They do not have to be in the newspaper or in the bulletin. We don't have to get credit for everything that we do. And yet, we are reminded that You can use us as we are to be potential disciples, to have that impact in the world that You call us to live by being a faithful witness, sharing our testimony day in and day out, especially with those whom we love. Being reminded that You care for us deeply. That You seek us to be in Your kingdom. And that You will teach us to be more than we could ever be. God, I give You thanks again for the time we've had together today. May Your Holy Spirit now search deep in our hearts, just as You did in Peter's, and remind us of who we are in Your eyes. We are forgiven sinners who can be renewed and refreshed and remade in the likeness of Christ. Amen.